Going through the basic disciplines or habits of a believer, this is what God wants us to do. These are the fundamental disciplines that God wants disciples to follow or to practice. We're on number 5. Can anyone name the first 4 or any of the first 4?
Bible immersion.
Yeah, being just involved in the Bible in every way. We covered 5 different ways to do that. What's another one?
Prayer, praying,
continuous prayer.
Submission.
Submitting to authority or what did we call it? Yielded following. It's easier to say submission.
And giving,
generous giving. Okay, so we've covered those. This is the 5th one. We tried to go in some order, but it's not necessarily all logical. But one that is essential to believers is committed gathering. So that's what we're talking about here. We've talked about it for a couple weeks. We've laid the foundation. We're now getting into some actual detail, actual teaching. We looked at the 2 churches that the Bible talks about. The Bible doesn't talk about the church at all in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament idea. The first occurrence is in Matthew 16 where Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He talked about the church as a single entity. And then in Matthew 18, he talks about when people have disagreements or whatever, they're to bring it to the church. And that, then it's talking about the local church. And the church, the body, the entire body, we call it the universal church, or another term we use. Not use, but it's used in the Apostles' Creed. It's called the Catholic Church. And when you hear the word Catholic, all it means is taken as a whole. We're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, okay? Catholic in the generic sense, lower C. We just want you to know that. We don't use it much in Protestant circles, probably obviously why, but so that's the universal church. The universal church, other than just at the very beginning at Pentecost, has never met together, never worshiped together. There's people that have died that you've never met that are part of the church. There's people in the future, unless Jesus comes today, that are part of the church, the whole universal church, that you will not meet. Other parts of the world, they don't meet together. They don't function as a unit. So anywhere where it talks about functioning, you see it as a local body. There's no pastor of the universal church. There's pastors of local churches, okay, for example. So there's the church and a church. What is the church? And we first looked at what a church is not. A church is not a place. You don't go to church, biblically speaking. And we have to think correctly in order to function correctly. If church is a place, then when you go to that place, you have done church. That's not true. Okay? The church is not a time. It's, let's do church at 11 this week or whatever. It's not a time. It's not a service. Well, I do church and the early service or whatever. No, that's not doing church. That's part of what a church does, but that's not what a church is. And then a church is not a list. It's not having your name on some membership list. A church requires involvement and involves your participation. Last week we looked at what the church is, and we listed at least 7 descriptive terms. A church is a group of believers in Jesus' death and resurrection. A person may be somehow a member of a local church and not be saved. That's possible. They're not part of the universal church that way, but it's possible. Just because someone's a member of the Last Baptist Church of Skunk Hollow. Remember one of our teachers using that, Laverne? Remember that one? I'm trying to think of his name now, but he was a youth director kind of guy. But just because you're a member of a church doesn't make you a member of the body of Christ, okay? It should be that way, but it's not that way all the time. Number 2, a specific assembly committed to one another. It's not, a lot of people have a vague sense of the church. And so there's no real commitment to a local body. A local church is a very defined group of people. It's a specific assembly committed to one another. It's not just a vague group of people that's in a general proximity. It's a specific group of people committed to one another. If you can think of it this way, membership in a local church, and I use the membership vaguely because you are a member of the body, so therefore you are a member of the local church. Really. But membership to a local church is like a marriage in a large degree. You wouldn't say, well, I'm married, but really not defined as to whom I'm married to, would you? But a lot of people function in that way. Okay, it's a commitment to a local group of people. Number three, they're led by God-appointed, God-approved leaders. And in the Bible, you don't see people just making up their own group and starting their own church kind of thing. It's people that are trained. Even when Paul went and evangelized, he evangelized first, so they're part of the people that are saved or part of the church, but the local church hadn't really gotten formed yet, so he sent Titus out to ordain elders. Then it became a more of a functioning local body. Number four, proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers. That's one of their functions. The church is not a club that defines what they want to do. The church is God's body, and He has defined what it is to do. They're making disciples, and part of making disciples is proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers. They're pursuing the training of believers to full maturity and service. Again, the church is not an entertainment center. And a lot of churches have got off on that path. And so people go to hear the latest drummer or the latest guitarist or the latest singer. That is not what church is about. You'll never see that defined as being the local church. That doesn't mean that the existence of musicians is outside that realm. That's if that becomes the center, it's off focus. Because the goal is not to entertain people with music. The goal is to train people with the truth. Okay? You can worship God with music. You might be able to reinforce people with music, with the truth, but that or anything else, whether it's a basketball team or whatever, if that becomes a central focus and loses that training people component, it has become something different than what God intended for the church. Number six, perpetuating leadership to the next generation. The church is to train its next generation's leaders. The things that I've committed to you, the same commit thou to faithful men that will be able to teach others also. There's a perpetuation of leadership training that God has assigned to the local church. And I believe a healthy church, a church that is functioning with biblical pastors and biblical people, it takes both. You have people at different levels of training all the way through. You have people that are just starting out. You have people that are slowly, you know, getting into the training world, and then you have people that are trained and functioning, and you have people even training the trainer, so to speak. You see that multiple generations, and that doesn't mean someone has to die before the next generation starts. Okay. And then finally, preserving the truth in the face of falsehood. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15. There's no other pillar. It's not any other institution but the local church, ultimately. You can say the church, as in the body of Christ, but there's nothing that happens in the church. It's only as it happens in the local body that it is fleshed out and functioning as God intends. Questions or comments? That's where we've been. Now, flip the page over to where we are today. The Hebrews 10:25 is probably one of the top 25 or 50 quoted passages, I would say, at least in a local church. It's quoted, not forsaking the assembly. How many can quote that, you think? Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the most important words in that verse are usually brought up to be not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, ... Okay, that's usually what's emphasized. I taught this years ago in a Sunday school class, and I was just awestruck that, oh, this is the middle of a sentence. There's more to it than that. They're missing the important parts. Okay, not forsaking and not just not capitalized for a reason. It's part of a sentence. There's even a bigger context. We're not going to look at that today. But I want to break this down. All I have is I have it kind of outlined for you. This is the way I study, so it's there. But I have it written on the board, too. It's really tight on the board. So I'm going to scooch over here a little bit and turn this way. And hopefully I'll still be able to write so everybody can see. Let's talk about this. Let's do some observing here. What's the first thing? First line. Let's just look at the first line. Because not forsaking is all the way down here. Okay? And there's stuff below it that we want to look at and highlight. And there's also stuff above it. So let's look first. And we're just going to explain this two-verse passage today. That's our goal today. Let us, what? What does that say about the church? Yeah. Did you hear what Jim said? I would say that 90% of people who attend, even conservative churches, have missed this point. It has become something of a lost truth. Why? Because they're attending. I've done, the church is a building, I've gone there. The church is a service, I showed up. The church is a time, I've punched my clock. Right? They're thinking wrongly, so they function wrongly. What is the essence of the local body? It is considering one another. You go to church, and if you walk away with anything else today, this is the key point here. You are part of a body, and you are here for the benefit of the rest of the body. And that should change completely the way you look at church. Throughout the years, I've had people come up and say, hey, you know, what if I take my kids somewhere and do this? And I say, that's, you know, if it's on a different time than when we meet, that's fine. But they say, well, we're not getting a lot out of this service or that service. It's like, well, what do you come for? You or somebody else? Right? But the Bible says that if you don't get anything out of it, is all lost? Is all lost? The whole reason for coming lost? No. What's the reason for you coming? For other people, right? Considering other people. It's like, let us consider one another. Why do we come? We come for a specific body. Remember, the church is a specific body, not the entire body, not the body. Okay, it's not the body. It is a specific body that you have committed to. A single group of people as defined by God that are committed to whom? Not themselves. That's consumerism. Consumerism is I go, I shop, right? Consumerism, well, I buy my chips over here because I like those chips. I go over here to do this. That is not a commitment to a body. A local body is a specific body that we are committed to, right? Why do we come together? We come together to consider. Yeah, different color. Consider one another. Why do you assemble? What is your mindset when you assemble? I don't like saying come to church. Why? Because immediately you think in building. You are. That's the way we were brought up. Let's go to the church. We have to mow the church lawn. Church is a lawn? Maybe this, I don't know. Okay. But see what I'm saying? Why do we assemble? We assemble because we're committed to a specific body for their benefit. Now, take the body thing. We're going to talk about body more later. God uses the concept of a body very specifically. Okay? Look at my body. I know Hope, if you get nauseous, turn away. But that's why I only have to look at myself in the mirror once or twice a day. Here's my hand. Okay, my right hand. What can it do and what can it not do in relation to the body? Let's start out first. How many bodies does this service? One body. Not multiple bodies. A hand cannot be connected to multiple bodies and function. Fair? It's a local body. This is my local physical body. What can this hand do? Pick things up like... Use this hand. My coffee. What else?
You can write.
I can write. I am right-handed too, so that works well. Okay. What else? Touch, feel. I can block. I can wave. We're number one. We're number four. You know, whatever. Scratch and itches, yeah. Right? Can the back scratch itself? Right?
You can speak
your hands. Sign language. You can do, as long as somebody else understands, yeah. Right? Yeah. But even then, you can sign language, but guess what? You can't just sign language, can you? Not easily, unless you're Helen Keller. Remember that her teacher did it into her hand because she couldn't see either. Remember, Helen Keller was blind and deaf. Mm-hmm. So what can it not do? My hand. Can't eat. Can't transport me easily. Even with my hand, by the way, my hand actually cannot even pick something up. Because there's no muscles in your hand. What's in your hand, in your fingers? Tendons, I should say, in your fingers. There's no muscles in your fingers, it's tendons. So it can't even pick it up. It's helpless. Without what? The rest of the body. Now, my body has two hands to help the body. This body, okay? It has two ears, eyes, and all that. But each one, my eye can't eat. It can see what I wish I could eat. Right? My nose can smell what I wish to eat. If you're at my house, that's quite often. You know, what's that? And then it's like my nose contacts my brain and then my brain says, feet, get going. Kitchen, you know, whatever. Okay? All right? But you understand... It is here. My hand is here for the rest of my body. It doesn't function for another body as a hand. My body can function for another body, but my hand by itself can't. My hand is helpless. My hand can't do anything because it needs a heart to pump blood. My heart can't do anything by itself because it needs a stomach to process food that I've eaten. Okay? And even that doesn't work because the blood vessels have to work and the enzymes and everything has to work together. Okay, and that's the picture that God chose to use for the local body. It's not a dispersed piece of things. It's something that's defined and intended to work together. Okay? Let us consider one another. You... God intends to be committed to a single body and function for the benefit of that body. Can you do stuff outside of that body? Yes, but what is your first focus? The body. Your specific group. Okay, that's the way it's designed by God. Let us consider one another. This doesn't work. The whole one another concept does not work if you start thinking of multiple church commitments. Does that make sense? One another requires a specific each other kind of involvement. We're going to spend a whole lesson, if not more, on the one another's in the Bible. It requires a specific commitment to a specific body, and it's a mutual commitment. We have to consider one another. The word consider, I'll show you here. Consider is this, I'll write it here first, okay? K-A-T-A-N-O-E and a long O. Kata no e-o. Kata is down. No e-o is knowledge, our mind. So, to put your mind down. To put your mind down on. Does that make sense? It isn't just consider. It's not a whim. You could probably translate this to study or observe closely. To set your brain on something. Does that make sense? It's not light. It's looking at closely. That's what the Bible says. Consider seems almost whimish. It's focus on one another. It's stronger than the word consider seems to imply in English. Okay? So you could even say, if I were to translate this, let us place our focus on one another. Does that change things? Does that require you to have a specific group that you focus upon? Help me out. Yes, it does. Because it's a mutual thing. It can't be distended commitment. Let us consider one another. Okay, got that? We'll come back to the one another's another day. We're going to hit another word in this. So that is what we're supposed to do. Let's use another color, right? Let's have a rainbow. If I don't strangle myself. This would be what we are supposed to do. Okay? In order to stir up. This is an unusual word. It's only used a couple times. I'm looking deeper into my notes. In order to stir up. By the way, you can translate to fix the mind on one another, too. That's another commentary put this. This is paroxysmon. That's good, I can't pronounce it. I won't even try and spell it for you. But it's only used two times as a noun and two times as a verb. But it's translated in Acts 15 as the word contention. There was a contention between Paul and Barnabas. To stir up. What? How would that be a good thing? Contention. To me, it defines a little more of what you should expect in a local body. Okay. To encourage, build, challenge. It's in the verb form, it's 1 Corinthians 13, love does not provoke. It's used in a negative sense there. Here it's in the King James, I think, is that the word is provoke. Okay? To provoke one another. What does provoke sound like? Well, we're not trying to upset people.
If we're just on that one line, it gets
Okay.
But you add the next two lines, so kind of.
Supposed to have good works, you have to do nothing.
You have to be there to start. Go ahead. You guys have these puzzled looks, and I'm happy. Go ahead.
I think about stir up as you're stirring a pot, and there are going to be some collisions, but stirring up is movement. Sometimes you get stagnant when you come to church, and you're getting called off their bones to do something.
Yeah, it is.
Loving good work.
You're stirring. You're going to, what did you say there was going to be?
Collision.
Okay, let's hang with that. Valerie, you have another.
I was thinking, kind of what Lisa said, we're certainly in our own physical age, we're certainly not, it doesn't come naturally to us to do things rather. We'd be challenged and sort of pushed in that direction.
Okay. And we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to consider one another with the purpose of stirring up. Now the word, this comes from two words. The word oxus, which is sharp, and para, which is alongside or whatever, but it's like a poke alongside. Okay? And we don't like to be helping other people. I'm reserved, I'm shy, or whatever. It's like God hasn't given you that option. We're to consider one another, which involves our presence, being here with one another, okay, because we consider one another for the purpose of, and notice this, we're still looking the outwardly, not we're not looking to see what we can get out of it. You with me on this? God is still saying, hey, I haven't even thought about you yet. Okay? You're here for whom? Others, one another. So therefore, you come and you're here to do what? To stimulate. You're here to poke. Okay? You're here to provoke. When I first studied this years ago, I thought a good word was this. Agitate. Now, agitate can be bad, right? He agitates. Yeah, that's what I thought of when I first said the agitation in the wash machine. It's got to stir things up so that good comes from it. And in the same way, I think we have, again, redefined the church in our day so that people think church should be A-okay. All the dust is settled. Everything is fine. Is that normally the way people interact? Just calm waters all the time. Oh, you're married too? Okay. You know what I'm saying? Or you have children or whatever the case? Any of that. Or parents. I don't want to offend the kids. It goes all the way around. Anytime you get two people together, sooner or later, there's issues, right? It seems to be kind of a dynamic there. We need to consider one another. You need to be here. You come for other people in order to stir them up. And again, understand then, this is where you come in. Why are other people coming?
Stir you up.
Yeah, to stir you up. But you're there to be a sharp point in somebody's side. And you say, I don't like that. It's like, well, then you don't care. If you have kids, if you are a kid, this will maybe make sense. If you have kids, it does. But do you ever tell your kids things they need to hear but don't want to hear? Oh, I thought that's what the Greek word parenting meant, you know, kind of thing. You know, it is. Folks, brothers and sisters, we come together because we do care, and we speak up because we are caring. Okay? And this text will bring that out more. But we are here to agitate one another. We consider one another. We come because of others, not because of ourselves. It completely removes the consumerism that you find in a church setting anymore. Oh, they got a great lead singer. I'm going to go there to church. Total unbiblical perspective.
He's got a great baritone voice, so he's a good pastor because he projects himself.
There's people that, I told you about the one pastor who got selected as a pastor because they liked the way his wife played the piano. It's like, Judy. Right.
And that's how it's supposed to be. And we shouldn't be ashamed and say, oh, we're just fine when we're in church, because that should be where we're going for us, you know, seeking.
Right. The church is a repairing factory, not a display case. It isn't, hey, come on, let's all together and let's show each other. You know, we're wonderful, and we just want to make sure we all see each other, and we'll go home, and after patting ourselves on it, it's like, hey, the word equip, God gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints can also be translated, it is translated, restore. It's a fixing place. It's like you don't take your car to the mechanic shop because it's well. You don't go to the hospital because you're fine. Right? Now, the church isn't just the hospital. It's also preventive. It's a training ground. It's a getting ready thing and all that. But all that's involved. People come and want a church that's a perfect place, and it's like, nowhere in the Bible does it indicate that. A church is a cacophony. That comes from a Greek word, bad and sound. it's a kind of an organized chaos that God is doing His work within. Really, it is. And as Judy said, everybody's at different levels in different areas. And Judy might be strong in three areas, but it's weak in three other areas. But guess what? You are strong in one of those areas, and you're here to rub her the wrong way. You're to agitate her, and guess what? She'll do the same for you. Right? That's the way it's intended to be, to stir up. We're to poke. We're here, and church is not attendance. Church is active involvement. So that's why you can't attend a church and check it off your list, because you have to be actively involved in a specific group of people on an ongoing basis. That is church. And it's interactive, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it hurts. Just like in a family, just like in a marriage, just like any time there's two people in one place over enough time. Only this is spiritually oriented. It's spiritually defined. Okay? So to stir up, agitate. And that's a good thing. We're to stir up. And we can't do that if we're not constantly coming together. And that's why assembling is so important. Assembly is not an afterthought. It's a central... That's why God called the church assembly. Isn't that interesting? But on this rock I will build my assembly. What does the assembly do? First, they assemble. And so therefore the church needs to assemble often. In our day, people are slowly drifting away from assembling. The Bible seems to indicate that that is indicative of disease. It's only when your body is all together that it's functioning well, okay? That's when it does its thing mostly. And that's why assembling several times a week is not a burden, it's a necessity. Okay? It's that important, because that's the way the body functions. So we got agitate, provoke, stir up. What are we supposed to stir up? Oh, by the way, this word here, this is what we're supposed to do. Consider one another. We'll get more what's here. This is why. Why are we considering? What's the intent? Okay? to stir up. What are we supposed to stir up? Okay. We got love. And we have good works, right? Wow, that's in one verse, it summarized everything that God is intending to accomplish in your life. And what would those things be? What is love? What is love? What's love? Putting others before yourself? How would these differ? What's the difference in love and good works? Over.
Good works could have a selfish motivation.
Okay. Okay. So love, and don't confuse this with this, is why you do what you do. And good works would be what you do, right? What you do, why you do it. You can have good works, as Laverne kind of inferred it. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I give my body to be burned and give all my stuff away and don't have love, I'm nothing. So it's not that the act itself has no value, but I've missed the point of it. So God wants to direct our motivation and our ministry, I guess is another way to say it. What we do and why we do it, okay? Both of those. Did I do something, spell something wrong? Notice a way, man. What article?
In other words, love following.
All right. I can't affirm or deny it, and I don't know that it requires that. That to me, that's probably overanalyzing, not by you, but by the commentary, because you can have good works. Or you can have love without either one. They're incomplete. I would agree with that. But you're aiming at both. So why you do and what you do, okay, your motivation and your ministry, we're supposed to stir that up. Did you know that God wanted you to come today so that you would love, you'd be properly motivated, and that you would minister more, that you would be motivated to do that? Back up a sec. What do most people go to church for? Their three favorite people, me, myself, and I, right? And if me, myself, or I is offended, doesn't like what they want or whatever, they're gone, right? All three of them leave. Never mind. Trying to be funny, it's not working. Okay? But I'm saying, what are we here for? Others. It's funny, but you don't even see the word sermon in here at all. We'll talk about spiritual gifts a little later. Probably in a separate discipline. We'll touch upon them here as we look at 1 Corinthians 12 for the body idea. But it's a mutual and corporate action of one another's as they assemble together. And I'll put proof to my words. Because notice, there's a comma here. So he's saying, consider one another. Why? In order to stir up what? Love and good works. Keep talking. What does that look like? Not forsaking what?
the assembly of ourselves together. And notice here, this, it's not just any group, it's a group. We said specific body. It's a, oops, that's not the word I was going to underline, actually. Ourselves. It's a specific group of people. It's tied into the one another. It's not as long as you go somewhere, sometime, it's you're with the people that you've committed to be with, to do the one another with. That is the body. It's a single entity. And that is our preeminent focus, and that is God's plan. His plan is to accomplish in our lives as we commit to a single assembly, and that is our preeminent focus. That's how it works, because it's ourselves and one another are together. Okay? Not forsaking, not abandoning. And this, by the way, this is present tense. This would be like any time we get together. Some say, well, I haven't forsaken. Okay? I haven't forsaken. Well, it's like it's ongoing. Okay? It's any time that the church gathers. Why? Because it needs to gather. That's when the body stuff happens. That's when the one another stuff happens. That's the focus. Is not me, not my schedule, not my comfort level. It is others. Okay? And here, again, the key word, together. Well, I'm having church by myself tonight. Impossible. Impossible. Because the church is what? The... Yeah. Okay? Okay, going on here. As is the... I haven't looked at this Greek word before, but it's... Everywhere else it's translated custom. It's people get into habits and they do whatever they want. They develop a custom of just, you know, going anywhere and everywhere, and they're not committed to a body. That's the custom of some. God says, no, you're committed to a body, and that's where you put your focus. That's what the one another is. Why? Because church is the assembly, the local assembly, and that's where you put your heart, that's where you put your energy and all that. That's where your focus is. And notice here, I'm trying to figure out how to differentiate this. How do you consider others to stir up? What's the opposite of forsaking? Exhorting. Annie knows the answer to this. Most people, I grew up in not forsaking was in about every Christian Living track and all this. They quoted verse 25 and maybe only half of it. Because the idea was to get you into a church building, to have you attend a service. The opposite of forsaking, growing up, to me, was attending. Right? So then if I attended, on to football, on to mowing the lawn, whatever. I did it for the week. I attended Baptist Mass. Okay, I'm done. Good. Good to go. The opposite of forsaking is not showing up. Right? Notice this word here. Just ignore this, or say, the opposite of forsaking is what? Is active speaking to other people in the local body. How can that happen if you don't attend? The answer would be, it can't. By the way, this is ongoing too. This is a present tense ongoing as well. I'll just put the little tilde here. Ongoing, it's every time you want to be exhorting them. And any time the church assembles, you should be assembling with that local body. Our focus should be on a body, a specific body that's committed to one another, focusing. Okay? The opposite of forsaking is not attending. The opposite of forsaking is actively being involved in other people's lives. What if we just attend? Are we doing church? Not from a Bible standpoint. Ultimately, what are we to do? We're to consider one another. Why would we do that? I'm uncomfortable talking to people. Okay. God will give you that for a while, right? What are you doing to get over that? Okay? You might not say, okay, have you learned the 58 Greek words for love? Or, you know, there aren't 58 Greek words for love, I know. But, you know, it's just like, hey, how's your Bible immersion going? You get one question asked him. How's your walk? How's your prayer life? Right? Active involvement. What can I do to serve you this week? Okay? That's doing church. That's the assembly. The assembly is not just getting together. The assembly is active involvement in other people's lives in order to stir up love and good works. So you see the body growing in what they do and why they do it as time goes on because of what you have accomplished in people's lives. Now, I'm sure the word pastor is in here somewhere if you look hard enough, but it isn't actually. Because the pastor is just one person in the assembly doing his part in the assembly. Okay? This isn't written to pastors. This is written to one another. It's written to the garden. I call it the lettuce. Anyway. Okay? And notice here too. But exhorting. We need exhortation. You need the local body. The title here on the back page on the top, I'm going to give you two titles here. Now I'm looking at the morning service notes here. Voice is confused. I need the church and the church needs me, or assembling is more than getting together. It's a commitment to a specific body to come together. And notice here, it isn't just casual commitment. Notice here, how often? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I won't address the day right now. I don't know for sure what it is, if it's talking about the rapture or if it's just talking about the evil that's coming or whatever, or even judgment day. There's possibilities, and I can't give you a definitive answer right now, but it seems like the closer we get to the end of time, how often should we get together? Less? More. So our tendency is, boy, I'm busy. We should be wanting to get together more, not because we feel like it, but because we're told to, because we need it. Have you noticed that it's gotten more evil? At least more, what's the word I'm looking for? Outwardly evil? People have always been evil, right? Cain killed Abel. All right? Adam disobeyed God. You know, once that happened, it's downhill from there. But there's no holding back now. Is that helpful or hurtful to our walk? So what do we need? We need more of each other. We don't need less of each other. Less, we need you. We don't need... we need more of less.
Yeah.
But we don't need less of each other, right? Okay? Does that make sense? And so if anything, anytime we have a gathering, I used to tell people, and Laverne has a history here, if it's a work day, we need to be together. It's a reason to be here. You know? Anything that's going on, it's part of the one another's. It's a commitment to a single entity, and we need to work our schedules around one another rather than saying, oh, I'm busy. Okay? Because God says this is what He will... God will do His work through the local church. No other entity. Right? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The church only functions in local settings. It's the local church that'll make or break our culture. It'll make or break the gospel as far as its effect, how we take it out. It'll make or break disciple making. Everything hinges on the local body, the one another's, and considering one another.
completely in the face of our culture today, and I'm talking conservative culture, even conservative Baptist culture, because we're in it for me, myself, and I, and if I don't like what you do, I'll leave. Okay? And that is opposite of what God says. There is contention as part of the church because that provokes us to love and good works. It's always dusty in a biblical church. The dust is always kicked up. There's always white caps, okay? Some days more than others, but it's always kind of something going on because God is doing work. Even in the midst of trouble, God does work. Have you noticed that in your life? I grow more. And I'm not asking for it, God. You understand. But trouble grows me in ways that I could never grow apart from that trouble. I'll say that as a personal testimony. So don't leave because of trouble. Thinking like, hey, God's doing something here. We'll have to work through this kind of stuff. You know, that kind of thing. So we need one another. You need the church and the church needs you. If you stop or if you have a mild commitment, you don't get what God intends out of the body, the other way around as well. You're not getting it and you're not giving it. It's a double loss if we don't assemble as we should. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I know I've changed in my thinking as you've shown me this passage over the years. I was shocked when I first read both verses together. Lord, my life was focused on attending until I understood that it was focused on others. And it changed my attendance perspective altogether. I pray that you would grow us and change us in this area and help us, Lord, to be light and salt and help us to encourage other believers, even in other churches as we come across them, to be faithful to their congregation, faithful to their assemblies, and live for them and not for themselves. Thank you for your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.